Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt, and this is the Remnant Underground. Well, it's happened. Everybody's talking about it. It is now a done deal. The dead pioneers of traditional Catholicism, friends, today have been completely vindicated by Pope Francis. That's how I see what's happened now, that he's taken away the traditional sacraments, curbing and restricting the traditional Latin Mass. We're still waiting for an answer, of course, to the dubia raised by Raymond Cardinal Burke some time ago, remember? And the other dubia cardinals regarding Amoris Laetitia and Pope Francis's decision to authorize unrepentant public adulterers to receive the sacrament. We're still waiting for that. He just blew them off, didn't he? He didn't even bother. Just like he blew off Archbishop Vigano when he asked for clarification, when he raised his dubia. But today now this is different. What's happened now is different. Francis has swiftly answered the dubia, in this case, from bishops wanting to know exactly how fast now this Church of Accompaniment intends to abandon literally millions of traditional Catholics all around the world. That's what's happening. And nothing that he does surprises me, of course, this man, but I would just draw your attention to the obvious. We are a week before the birth of Jesus Christ, like the high holy day of Christianity, Christmas, a week before Christmas. Francis had his own birthday. It was a day after his own birthday now. This is the man who says he's the Pope of Mercy. And now he makes it official right before Christmas that it's time for traditional Catholics to basically go to hell. Wonder why? Why is it true? And remember what we're talking about here. This is one of the things that bothers them so much, these modernists. We're talking about families. We are talking about young families. We're talking about people 7, 8, 9, 10 kids right before Christmas. This is all they've ever known. They're not in open rebellion against the modernists and Second Vatican Council. They pay no attention to that. They're just trying to save their souls. They're just trying to raise their kids in the faith. The vast majority. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of young children. We're talking about young families that Francis is calling dissenters and sowers of disunity. Over with right now. Stop playing around with the resistors. That's what he's saying. These people wrecked the liturgy, wrecked the Roman rite, which goes back to apostolic times. They anglicized it, giving us all these options, messing with it, destroying it until we have this bastardized version of the Roman rite now called the Novus Ordo Missae, right? They're the ones who wrecked it. They're the ones. And now they're accusing us. The little people, the people in the pews, the people trying to raise their kids, they're accusing us of the crimes of subversion for not going along with the recovation of the Mass, with the destruction of the faith of our fathers. Look around you. Mass apostasy. Even Pope John Paul II called it the silent apostasy. What is Francis talking about? We're supposed to loyally adhere to that wreck, to that mess, that shipwreck that they made out of the Catholic Church. And if we don't, we're guilty. We're the ones who are guilty of subversion. You see what a rotten lie this is? What rotten liars are in the Vatican right now? And friends, I don't care. It doesn't matter at this point what religion you are. You better pay attention to what's happening, because this is intimately integral to the reset, to the New World Order. They're getting the Catholic Church out of the way. So whatever you are, Protestant, Orthodox, whatever, pay attention. Because this is going to affect every one of us. This has everything to do with tyranny and injustice for all. This has everything to do with COVID. This has everything to do with the reset. All of it is connected. They cannot have the Catholic Church resisting, like the Catholic Church and the Pope resisted Nazism and resisted the Soviet Union. Now it's globalism. They're taking it out so it will not resist. It will not form any sort of an impasse to what's happening to all of us right now. This guy Francis, I'm sorry, he is the chaplain of the New World Order. It is Christmas time and he's at war with children, with young priests, with whole orders of young nuns. What for? What is he doing, this man? How can you defend this anymore? He's an angry old man, hell-bent on helping his globalist friends demolish the last line of defense between you and your children and this diabolical New World Order. So whatever happened to diversity as our strength? Remember when they were telling us that? Well, why can't this order, this movement of traditional Catholics in the church, why can't the church of diversity and accompaniment open up to them? I guess it doesn't matter. I guess diversity as our strength was a lie. And what about all the Eastern Rite order, churches, your holiness? What are you going to do, Francis? You're going to shut them down too because they compromised unity? You're going to have everybody worshiping exactly as you want according to this cockamamie new mass, which changes from one parish to another, much less one continent to another, vastly different all over the world. You talk about unity. So what are you going to do with the Eastern Rite, Kathy? You better be careful there. Your holiness. Start pushing them around. They're going to go back into schism. If you're not Catholic, I know what you're thinking. Why would a pope, why would a good and merciful pope be cracking down on faithful Catholics in the middle of a worldwide lockdown at Christmas time when millions of people don't even know for sure where they're going to get groceries in a few weeks? They can't afford gas. They're out of work. They're getting fired for standing up to this New World Order garbage. They're suffering. The country's going through economic chaos and collapse. And Francis is spending his birthday this year, a week out from Christmas, scheming on how he can get all the little Catholics down in Whoville to stop singing Adeste Fidelis in Latin or whatever it is. What's wrong with him? He's like the Grinch, literally. He's actually spending this time in the middle of this pandemic figuring out how to shut down all those little trad Catholic families with the chapel veils and all the kids. I'm sorry, friends. I'm done. I told you last time, I can't do this anymore. I can't come up with any excuses for him. What kind of a sick person does this? I can only come up with one solution for this, what Francis is doing. He's angry. He's got some sort of anger management problem. Remember when Francis decided he was going to start whacking some lady out in the piazza because she touched his arm? Maybe we can throw that up on the screen for a second. This is Francis. This is his reaction when somebody didn't do what he wanted. He starts swinging at her. And now he's implementing a global ban on what? On old normal Catholicism. That's all this is. And why is he doing that? Because it's all, like I say, part of the whole new normal, part of the new thing that they've got coming. He's dividing and conquering. He's intentionally going after those families and all those children. That's what Klaus Schwab is doing for the whole world. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, traditional, non-traditional. He's pitting the world against. He's dividing it down the middle, putting us all against each other. That's what Francis is doing. He's making room now for the new normal religion of his. His religion of equity and climate change. It's all he ever talks about anymore. The four last things, whatever. To hell with that. Climate change! It's a new religion. And it's time for every one of us, according to this guy, the whole world needs to get vaccinated against tradition. Because that's rigid. And we will not do that anymore. Remember when he slapped the little kid, the little altar boy who had his hands like this? Putting you through a lot of work over here, Walter. Hope you can dig that one up too. He comes walking through. The little boy's got his hands folded so beautifully. This was the first sign that there was a major problem with this guy. As an altar boy, you were an altar boy, Walter. You know you're trained by the priest to do that sort of thing, to show the dignity to the sacrament, to the mass, to Almighty God. And this young altar boy is doing this, and Francis comes through and pulls it apart. Just pulls it apart. As an altar boy.
Yeah.
For an altar boy, that would be like the hardest thing to take. Don't do that. Don't behave. That's rigid. This is Francis in a nutshell. And you do not have to be a Catholic, friends, to be shaking your head right now and just going, what's going on? What is happening? Why is the Pope cracking down on faithful Catholics when just a few weeks ago he was welcoming pro-abort heretic psychopath Nancy Pelosi to the Eternal City. And then he's smiling and yucking it up with pro-abort heretic apostate Joe Biden and letting the message get out that any bishop in this country who would refuse to let Joe Biden receive communion was going to be in trouble with the big guy in white in Rome. That's what he's doing. Why? And as a Protestant, you might say, what's going on? What's going on? Because you remember when he was also, not that long ago, granting special personal audiences to married gay guys who were his old buddies. Remember this? This just has to stop, friends. And I guess just briefly, everybody's saying, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do? I guess I would say what we've been saying for a long time. Do not throw all the bishops in this country into the same cocked hat. Because a lot of them are looking at the same stuff that we're looking at going on in Rome. They're like, no. This is wrong. Something's wrong. This guy is a globalist operative. He's shutting down our churches. I mean, right here in Minnesota, the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis said to the governor, no, we're going to open the churches during COVID because people need to go to church. It's an essential service, remember? So there are bishops who are changing a little bit, who are turning. I sat and watched Archbishop Hebda just a few days ago graciously, generously give the sacrament, the traditional sacrament of confirmation to hundreds of young people, you know, in our archdiocese, because the bishop who was supposed to have done it was relocated. And so our archbishop offered the traditional sacrament, you know, of confirmation to all these people and these kids, and he gave a beautiful, beautiful talk, and he encouraged everybody and thanked them for coming through the snow to be there. You know, I'm sorry, friends, I'm not giving up on all these people. Diabolical disorientation has been going on for a long time. I think there are a lot of bishops who are now beginning to say, wait, something's gone really wrong. Your Excellencies, I hope and pray, that includes you. We are literally praying every night for you. We will stand with you. If it comes down where you have to make a stand to what's happening in the Vatican, you will have no more loyal defenders than us, than the traditional Catholics. But you must, Your Excellencies, you must lead now. You must resist. You cannot go along with this. And let's face it, let's be honest. For 15 years, you had to watch your liberal, leftist, progressive, modernist brother bishops do what? Completely ignore another motu proprio, the motu proprio of Pope Benedict XVI, Summorum Pontificum. They ignored it. They act like it didn't even exist, many of these bishops, while you, Your Excellencies, embraced it and served your flock loyally and as a good shepherd should. And we were able to access the Mass of our fathers, and we're so grateful to you, but we need more now. You know what to do. You have to ignore this. And you have to let your priests know that we are in the middle of a crisis, that we are in the middle of an emergency. We cannot implement this madness. And besides, how exactly is this going to pan out? How are you going to do this? You know, grandma is dying in hospice somewhere, and her family calls a priest, and now the bishop is expected to make sure that grandma doesn't get extreme unction, that she has to just get anointing of the sick and can't be extreme unction. What's he going to be, peeking over the priest's shoulder to see which prayers he's given to grandma as she's dying? Who would behave this? Why would anybody do this? Why would any priest comply with such a barbaric request? Make sure grandma doesn't hear those prayers as she's literally breathing her last. How about the sacrament of matrimony? See, Francis is going after all the sacraments, don't forget. But how's it going to work with the sacrament of matrimony? Because everybody knows in the age of divorce, no fault, divorce, and now easy annulment in the church, marriage isn't taken that seriously anyway. And the sacrament of matrimony oftentimes becomes something of a joke like this. So help me understand that that's going to be okay. That idiotic warbling of a pop song, that's going to be fine. But a bridal couple cannot ask, cannot request the priest to give them the old traditional sacrament, the nuptial mass that was around for 1,000 years, like this.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Mr. and Mrs. Kelly watch as the young couple kneel to pray before receiving Holy Communion.
What happened to us? Why would it now just be utterly mystifying for most Catholics to sit through that mass? It makes no sense. Who dumbed them down? Why were Catholics perfectly comfortable with that mass for Grace Kelly and Prince Rainier, and now they're just destroyed? They couldn't possibly handle it. Why? What happened? Who dumbed them down? It's not unifying enough, this mass, which was universally known and loved by Catholics of every race and every skin color from every continent for millennia? What's Francis talking about? Who wrecked it? That mass was the most unifying liturgy on the face of the earth. Literally. I mean, I've been to that mass in Japan, in Hungary, in Estonia, in Germany, in France, in Mexico, in Sao Paulo, Brazil, in Portugal, Rome, Spain, Czech Republic. I've been all over the world at that mass. And guess what? It was exactly the same every single time. I prayed and I worshiped with my Japanese friends. I didn't speak Japanese, but when I went to mass with them, we were all credo in unum deum. We were all praying together like it was our native tongue. That's what Mother Church gave to us. When I went to mass with the Hungarians, I can't get a word of Hungarian. I don't have any. Or the Brazilian. I don't speak Portuguese. You know? Languages were all different, but we prayed together. We prayed in unity, in unam, sanctam, catholicam, ecclesiam. That's what they wrecked. That's what they destroyed. The most unifying force on the face of the earth. And that's what this revolution, this new world order, that's what they've been trying to get rid of. Ever since I was a child and long before that. My own father, he fought in World War II. He used to tell me stories all the time when he went to mass all over Africa, the Middle East, Tunisia, wherever. Same thing. Same mass. Same Catholic people. Same worship of God. Same religion. Same language. But Francis, the modernists, these cheap globalists with theology degrees can't handle any of it. They're at war against all of it. And then they turn around with the absurd lie, the nonsensical, moronic claim that this is somehow going to unify us.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Friends, It is serious, but we need to put it all into context. Yes, Francis is trying to get rid of the Latin Mass, and now he has banned most of the sacraments, severely restricted all of them, and banned several of them, with no exceptions, including holy orders, because I think he wants to make sure traditionalist priests, let's face it, where the vocations are thriving in the church today, is in the traditional communities, so he wants to make sure that in the future you can't have the traditional sacrament to continue to crank out good and holy young priests, because the seminaries are mostly empty in the Novus Ordo. In places like Ireland, a seminary, every year they're trying to decide they want to shut it down. Ireland, before the council, used to send priests all over the world. They had so many vocations. The United States is full of Irish immigrant young men who became priests. After the council, they're trying to decide what they should do with the seminary that they have in Ireland to shut it down. So what he's doing, Francis, what he's doing is very much out in the open. This is a monstrous act by a monstrous little man, to be sure. But here's the thing, friends. Here is the thing. I personally have lived through this before. And I can tell you what, the monster has jumped the shark. This is not 1972, where this grand experiment was out ahead of us still and everybody was convinced it was going to be fantastic. You know, it's not 1972. We can all see, in fact, the entire world looking at the Catholic Church going, oh boy, whatever happened? That's like just a church full of pedophile priests now? I mean, the priesthood is a gay profession? That's what the world sees when they look at the Catholic Church. Francis doesn't seem to care about that. That's not so important. I wish he would act as decisively against that problem as he does against fidelity and faithful Catholics, but that's not going to happen. So the world can see exactly what the Novus Ordo experiment has led to, right? A church in shambles, absolute chaos, lack of vocations, a global clerical sex scandal, apostasy everywhere. So here's the thing. When the Pachamama Papa decides he's going to take a crack at destroying the healthiest movement left in the church today, traditional Catholic movement, a movement that is bursting with vocations, bursting with religious orders, new churches, new seminaries even, new communities teeming with young families. When he decides, when this guy decides, he's hanging out with Soros half the time and promoting Jeff Sachs and the rest of the population control whack jobs, when people like Gates love this guy, Bill Gates, now he's going to turn around and try to be like the father, the spiritual father to us. And he's going to try to like tell us where to go to Mass and things like that. Are you kidding me? Who's paying attention to this guy? It's not going to go well for him. Catholics have had quite enough of the Francis show. We're done. Which is why Francis is going to fail. And the hubris of the man. What in the world makes this Argentinian goofball actually think that he can pull off what Paul VI, and this is back, Paul VI would have been back when they were literally carrying the popes around, you know, the papacy was way up here. Even Paul VI and an entire ecumenical council of the church could not destroy the Mass. And here comes Francis of Rome. Oh my gosh, Francis, you need to get over yourself. This isn't going to happen. But I'll tell you what, let's compromise your age. Keep doing what you're doing, because this act of desperation on your part is going to do one thing. It is going to unite the Catholic counter-revolution like nobody has ever seen. And I appreciate that. As a promoter and defender of Unite the Clans, the movement, I'm actually kind of excited about what's going on right now. I really am. You know, for how many years, papalatry was the thing that stood in the way of the traditional movement, worshiping the Pope. Oh, the Holy Ghost hand-selected him. Really quick, off the cuff, for those of you who still think that the Holy Ghost personally selects the Pope. I've been to several conclaves. I tell you, that's just Sister Mary chocolate from the 1970s nonsense. He doesn't personally select. There's proof of it. The cardinals lock themselves in the Sistine, don't they? I've been a journalist there. You can't go anywhere near the Sistine. You're locked out. Do you know why? Because they're trying to prevent human agencies from influencing the conclave. What does that mean? It's a secret ballot. What does that mean? It means that outside influences, worldly influences, and politics can determine who will be the next pope. If the cardinals actively decide, like the St. Gallen's Mafia, for example, actively decide to frustrate the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, they can do so because they have free will. This is the teaching of the church. I'm sorry, Sister Mary Chocolate, but the Holy Ghost does not handpick, select every man to be pope, because if he did, then any time the pope said anything, if you criticize him, you're criticizing the Holy Father. You're criticizing the Holy Spirit, I should say. Do you see the problem? We need to get this straight. Go to your priest if you want that clarified, but that's the case. So all of my life, for a half century now, the big thing that stood in the way of principled, respectful, in the church resistance, I'm not going anywhere. We are not leaving the church because of Francis of Rome, believe me. But the thing that stood in our way was this mistaken notion that the Pope must be worshipped. Everything he says and does is of the Holy Ghost. This is absolute nonsense, worse than nonsense. It's the caricature that Protestants fashioned some 500 years ago, that Catholics worship the Pope, that the Pope is basically Christ, not the vicar of Christ, but he is Christ. You got to worship everything he says and does. That is Martin Luther's caricature of the papacy. But now, that's gone. Thank you very much, Francis. It's over. And I can prove now that this is going to, unifying things is going to happen really quick, because I know we all need some good news. I can see I'm running out of time here. I need to speed this up. But you'll all remember that over the past few years, some of you were pretty upset with me. Old, you know, fans of the Remnant newspaper kind of upset with me for being adamantly opposed to a Vatican SSPX, Society of St. Pius X, regularization agreement. Now, in all due respect, now that this has happened, do you see why I was concerned? Do you understand why I was not in favor of that? Yes, the society never left the church, never started its own church. The fraternity was on the other side. There was a certain cat and mouse game going on, a trap that the Vatican had set up. It was failing. It wasn't working. Society needed to stay on the outside. The fraternity was on the inside, and we got a lot done. We quadrupled the movement. Beautiful things happened. Entire generations were introduced to the Latin Mass. This is why I was opposed to that happening. Francis is not our friend. Francis is a destroyer. He is a modernist, and he must be resisted. Now, he's made that completely official, completely obvious. So there's one thing now, the source of division is disappearing already, even as of today. We all are going to become very soon, very united, on the same page, and ready to resist together, as we should have been for the past 50 years. That's going to happen in the next few weeks. So Francis, friends, we can unite around the fact that Francis is absolutely right in what he's saying in Traditionis Custodis, that there is no room in this new church of theirs for the liturgy and for the faith of 1,965 years of Catholicism. He's right about that. He's also right about the trap having failed. Summorum Pontificum, we supported it. It's flawed, but we supported it. The reality is there is no such thing as an extraordinary form and the ordinary form. It's two different masses. And basically, this is what Francis is saying. It's two different masses. You gotta make up your mind here. It's interesting. But the reality is, all the machinations that were going on, the traditionalists, we did not swallow the council in exchange for the Mass, which is what Abbe Denant famously said 50 years ago. Oh yeah, they'll give you the Mass, but you got to swallow the revolution. It didn't happen, friends. And Francis is right. We do reject the novelties and the revolution and the diabolic spirit of Vatican II. Of course we do. Of course the traditional Latin Mass is the future as well. Francis is right about that. If he doesn't get rid of it, make it illegal, it's going to take over. Of course. It will replace the Novus Ordo. And you can see that happening already. It's been happening for a long time. Packed out Latin Mass churches full of young priests, large families, versus what? Sorry, but versus empty Novus Ordo churches, for the most part, full of menopausal magpies and fabulous cantors, and empty pews and no kids. So who do you think wins in the end? Francis has got a point. Got to do something. You see why they're doing this? Francis is not on offense, he's on defense. Francis is initiating Operation Novus Ordo survival right now, right before our eyes, because you know what? He has to. Because they couldn't break us, because they couldn't seduce us, because they couldn't cajole us into abandoning the faith of our fathers. Take a bow, traditional Catholic brothers and sisters. You made it through the rain. You kept the faith. These infiltrators threw everything they could at us. And we held the Catholic ground, friends. That's pretty cool. The traditional Catholic pioneers were right all along. God bless every one of them. They're all in their graves now, but they were dead right. They took a lonely stand in favor of everything now we think and we're preparing to fight to the death for. But it was hard for them, and they were right. A friend of mine just yesterday sent me an email pointing to an old article that I had written back in 1999, in which I wrote the following. So many good Catholics do not see what is waiting at the end of the papal pilgrimage of apology of Pope John Paul II. I believe that it is the New World Order and the One World Religion. Now, my friend was amazed by this from 20 years ago. So how did you do this? But here's the thing. I'm not a prophet. I'm a traditional Catholic. And 30 years before I wrote those words, my father, Michael Davies, Archbishop Lefebvre, Hamish Fraser, they were all publishing warning after warning after desperately warning us that if the modernists take down the Latin Mass, they were actually at war with the kingship of Christ. and that a globalist prison camp would come to dominate our world in place of the Catholic Church. That's what they were warning against. Now do you see why we were so frustrated when it became mistakenly ascribed to us that we were a bunch of liturgy snobs, Latin buffs, and that we simply liked old liturgies? That was never it. The fight for the Latin Mass was a fight for survival of civilization. Don't you see? And that's why they're coming after us right now, as their great reset is on the horizon. Because if this movement continues, we will stop that great new world order of theirs. Christ will stop it. Now, the neo-Catholics, they were mocking the traditionalists all of my life. They were mocking my father all when I was young. We heard how he was on a dangerous trajectory towards schism. He was a rad trad. He was a bomb thrower. He was more Catholic than the Pope for saying all these things. But you know what? He held his ground. He never backed down. The traditional Catholics, he and his friends and his allies, they never backed down. They never left the church. They never even thought of leaving the church. They were in the church to defend the church, to defend Mother Church. They stayed on and they fought for tradition no matter what. And guess what? They changed history. And now Francis is only confirming that they were right all along, that they had a point, that their war was justified, that this is a new religion, that there is no room for the Mass of our fathers, for the Mass of Christendom in this new church of accompaniment that is a lie. Francis is merely admitting what the traditionalists have been saying from the start. And the good news for all of us, friends, is that he's about to turn our loose federation of warring tribes into the most united traditional Catholic counter-revolution that he's ever seen, that anyone has ever seen. Papalatry is dead. Long live tradition. This irrational persecution of traditional Catholicism means only one thing, that their revolution has failed. The modernists are not only out of the closet, they're out of hope, they're out of ideas. So start starving the lions again. We know how well that worked out the first time, don't we? Persecuting Christians never works. They persecute that which they can't deceive and which they can't destroy. They are the ones who are surrendering. They couldn't get us. They couldn't pull us in. So be of good cheer this Christmas, my friends. It's going to be a little rough, but as I say, a bunch of us have lived through it. We know what we're doing. We're good at this, you know? And Francis is 85, and his church is aging rapidly. It's collapsing. But the true church, the church that you represent, the church that you love as traditional Catholics, is just getting started. It's just getting ready to fight. And remember, it was so much worse back when I was a kid. Resistance was not futile then, and it's not futile now. But if they want to turn us into martyrs now, go for it. I'm fine with that. Because remember, 40 years ago, a bishop resisted them to their faces. You remember, they persecuted him too. They bullied him too. They cajoled him. They threatened him. And they're all dead, and he changed history. And in the end, guess what? They turned him into a martyr. And right now, today, Francis is turning him into a prophet. Because Archbishop Lefebvre warned the Vatican over and over again that if they persisted in this mad war on tradition, the world would fall into Christless chaos. Wow, was he right? Look around you. Is your city on fire? Mine is. Look at the chaos. Look at the death. Look at the depression. Look at the loss of faith. Our world is a graveyard now of aborted babies because Mother Church and her human element was not there to protect even the unborn. Our church is a cesspool of predator priests and lesbian nuns because Mater Ecclesia was imprisoned in Gulag Novus Ordo. Whole generations of suicidal children, what are they doing? They're picking their way through the Catholic ruins of what's left of the church, and they come up with stones every time. They're literally starving to death. And when some of them when some of them happen to stumble and find the old faith, find the traditional life-giving enclaves of the Latin Mass over the past few years, Francis the Merciful got ticked off. And now he's choosing Christmas of 2021 to cast them all out again. You don't think we've got infiltration going on here? You don't think we have the work of hell itself going on here, of demons, mass apostasy globally, lockdowns, transhumanism, forced vaccinations now? What more proof do we need that the traditional Catholic resistance, that the pioneers were right? And the horrific specter now of the orphaned children of winter locked out of their own churches by globalist command and blessing of the Pope, or the man who says he's the Pope. And you know what? You want to know the real problem here? The problem is that this is the face of traditional Catholicism. And this is the face of traditional Catholicism. And this is the face of traditional Catholicism. This is why Francis is canceling the traditional Latin Mass, because the future literally belongs to us. Friends, don't be downhearted. Prepare for the crusade that will save your soul and save the souls of your children. I know, I lived through it all once before. You know, I lived through it before. Men like Michael Davies, men like my father, what did they do? What was their great gift in the middle of that horrific post-Vatican II revolution? What was it? They gave us the crusade. They taught us how to fight for the faith. And that will sustain you. That sustained us through all these years. And that will sustain you and your children in ways that you can't even imagine right now. And back then, when I was a kid, there was one bishop. There was no hope. It was over. Today, we have dozens of bishops. We're lining up, tripping over each other, getting ready to resist. God is still with this movement. God is with his church. Back when I was a kid, there was just a handful of priests, abandoned pastors out in the cold who lost everything to give us the Mass. Today, their sons number in the thousands, their priestly sons in the thousands who are going to resist this ecclesial tyranny. And whereas when I was a kid, there was just a tiny little remnant of traditional Catholics, today there are millions of us, millions, who will go back underground, will go into the woods, will go into the catacombs. We will do whatever it takes until these modernist hippies are gone. So hold your ground, friends. Priests of the Fraternity of St. Peter, hold your ground. We know you will. You will find a way. We are praying and counting on you. Stand strong, diocesan priests. You've been on the front line all along, and we got more to do, and we stand with you. In the spirit of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, priests of the Society of St. Pius X, call out the Vatican right now. Call them out today. Don't waste another moment. Call them out. Tell the world what they're doing. Tell the world what Archbishop Lefebvre told the world, that they are creating a new and diabolical religion. The church will survive. The priesthood will survive. But we need to stand up, stand together, and fight what's going on. And the most important thing, friends, for us, the little people, the pew sitters, to keep in mind as we go now into this dark period is why we have to keep in mind, why is this happening? Why are they doing this to us? It is happening because we've kept the faith, because you've kept the faith. And that, friends, is what it's all about. You know this, but think about this. Consider this, the triumph of every martyr in history. From the child Christians, the children Christians, singing as the lions tore at their flesh, singing, smiling in death, to the last words of St. Joan of Arc, Jesus, Jesus, as the flames literally consumed her. To the sisters of the Carmel of Compiègne, singing the Veni Creator Spiritus, as each one of them, as her voice was silenced by the guillotine's blade, one at a time. To Father Michael Pro, extending his arms in cruciform and shouting, Viva Cristo Rey, as bullets tore open his chest. Each one of these heroes of our faith was a traditional Catholic. And each one, with his last words and his last breath, gave testimony to us and to those who were around, who were left behind. What was that testimony? The testimony was simple. The revolution has failed, they said. I kept the faith, and so must you. And so we will, friends. We've kept the faith, and that's why this persecution is upon us now. Because they failed. They failed to drive it out of us. Persecution is not going to kill us now. It's only going to make us stronger, just like it did 40 years ago when I was a child. It made us all stronger, more committed soldiers of Jesus Christ. Be grateful to it for it, what's happening right now. We cannot take our faith for granted anymore. In his effort to crush the faith of our fathers, Francis is only uniting our sons. He is uniting the clans. And for that, Francis, we thank God for you. Keep the faith, friends. I'm Michael Matt for MTV. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week.